cocaine or any specific drug. It is the disease of addiction. Could somebody please read the preamble?
Marilyn Addict.
Oh, Marilyn.
Marilyn, Cocaine Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from their addiction. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using cocaine and all mind-altering substances. There are no dues or fees for membership. We are fully self-supported through our own contributions. We are not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. We do not wish to engage in any controversy, and we neither endorse or oppose any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay free from cocaine and all other mind-altering substances, and to help others achieve the same freedom. We use the 12 steps of recovery because it has already been proven that the 12 steps recovery program works.
Thank you.
The format of tonight's event is going to be, we're going to have a home group member sharing. 8 o'clock we're going to have food, followed up by back-to-back shares from out-of-town speakers, and then tea, coffee and fellowship after that. So I'd like to hand you over to our first speaker, home group member Ryan.
Thank you. Right. Prepare to share for you all. The thing is, I'll get so overwhelmed. I've never done this. I've done it once before, and it was a nightmare. And I acted like the biggest tit, and I suffered it for about 5 years after. It was deeply embarrassing, and I should never have got up and done it, because I wasn't even on the program. I wasn't using drugs, but I was 2 years clean. I probably wanted to kill myself. I was probably had a porn habit. It was just a nightmare. Everything about my life at that time sucked, and I sounded good in meetings. Do you know what I mean? I sounded spiritual, I sounded well, and I suppose we were quite young at that time, and I suppose I thought I was somebody, and some other people thought I was somebody, and they soon found out I fucking wasn't. It was deeply embarrassing. So if you get the opportunity to do a share and you're not working the programme, be warned. You know what I mean? So anyway, my name is Ryan and I am an addict, yeah? I think the best lesson that I learned personally when I got into recovery, which was in 2000, when I got into recovery properly in April 2004, was I met my sponsor. He got put on me by some friends I had, and he said, start reading the book. I started reading the book. It was like in one ear, out the other. I started listening to share CDs. It was in one ear, out the other, and I was just a mess. But over time, he started coming around to my bedsit, and he took time out of his work. He's a busy man, and we started reading the big book together. And probably the best thing that I've ever read, bar nothing, is The Doctor's Opinion, because for me, it explained why I do what I do. And why I do what I do is because I'm a drug addict, because physically I'm different. I am not the same as my dad. I am not the same as my sister. And it's like, call it what you will, but it's like a hypersensitivity to drugs. So physically, if I put one in, and this is like a beer, this is a stone, this is a bit of heroin, this is a bit of whiz, this is like whatever it is, a bit of puff, it kind of doesn't matter. But if I put it in my system, bang, that's it, I'm off. I can't stop it with my head. I'm done, I'm fucked. And that to me, if I've got that, does anyone identify with that? Yeah. As having a physical allergy? Yeah. What a mad thing to cheer. When I got this, it was profoundly changing to me as a person, but equally, I was bitterly... Yeah. Profoundly upset. Because then what that lent itself to was... You've got this kind of that or that decision. And you are either going to, as it says, pick up the spiritual... Like, you're either going to do the steps, or you're not. And if you don't, now you know really what an addict is. If you don't, well, you know what that's about. You're fucked. And you are going to... steal bikes off five-year-olds in the street. Or are we laughing at this? So I'm in the shop with this guy, yeah? And we're doing what we have to do. He says, you be the distraction. So I'm at the counter, doing what I'm doing at the counter, and he's got off on this kid's bike. It's not funny. And it's fucking horrible. And then I've gone out, and you justify it, and you're like, I didn't take the bike. And my mate's there like this, screaming up the road, and then I turn to the kid. And the thing is, he had so much, he had more spirit in him than I had in me. And he's like, stop it, fucking stop it. And he's bawling his eyes out, he's broken off. Nicked his bike, and it's like, so I'm either going to live this life, doing whatever it is that I have to do, yeah? Or I'm going to have to get into the steps. And I came to Bournemouth in, I think, 1999, from the Midlands. So I've been in and out of the fellowship, and I'd never really done it, yeah? The steps, I'd never really got involved. So I suppose I was ready, and it was my time, and I started doing it. So I met my sponsor at that time, and we started getting into the book. We started doing some readings, and I made that decision. So whether it was that I'd had enough or not, I don't fucking know, but I don't know. It's like my actions were showing me what I was doing. I started reading the book, I started getting into it, I started understanding what the steps were, started to have an experience with what they were. Me and Adrian at the time were doing this layer side stuff, and it's profoundly good, but it's also profoundly disturbing because you start having an open mind and you really can start changing if you embrace this thing. So we're doing that. And I started to feel different. And then one day I did something so different from what I always do, is I phoned him up. It wasn't like we'd arranged for him to come round and do this thing. I woke up and I was almost in tears. It's like there was nothing going on. I didn't have to work. I was just like crushed as a person. And I saw him in my bedsit. I opened my eyes. There's fucking blood all over the ceiling. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's a disgraceful place. And I'm like, just like that, crying. And I'm like, God, please help me. God, please help me. And it's like, it's so embarrassing to get to that, where I thought so highly of myself for my entire life, because I was quite a strong fella. I was respected in town. I used to be able to earn a few quid, and it had come to this, where I was crying in a bedsit, unemployable, horrible, just on the back end of a horrible habit, and I called my sponsor. And that was a defining moment for me. And I called him up, and I'm like, I don't know what to do at all. And he's like, there was this recovery house from one of the treatment centres, and there were people there, and he says, go down there and knock on the door and ask to come in. And that was like, fuck it. Are you sure? Like, having to deal with whatever life was, I found particularly hard. And he's like, he's at work, so he can come round and save me. Do you know what I mean? I prayed like, oh God. And that was enough to get me out of bed and phone him up. So I got changed, went down to this recovery house, knocked on the door, and it was Richie Elg, who was there in this house. And I said, like that. And he's like, you better come in, have a cup of tea. And it was very much like my first meeting. And my first meeting I went to, it's like fucking orange hair out here, like a orangutan. Just like, fucking hell. Just everything was freaking me out. And I've gone into their house and it was like, fucking hell. Everything was freaking me out. But the difference was I did it. That was the thing, I did it. I just did it. That was the difference. I did it, I got through it. I didn't. My big fear was that I'd fall on the floor and have a fit. And after me, that was my big fear. Do you know what I mean? You feel it in your neck and you're just like holding it together and it's like, and you're just at a table having tea with a couple of other, you know what I mean? It's like, and it was really like, that's how I found myself drug free. Do you know what I mean? It was like, and we hadn't even gone into the body image issue, the fucking sex stuff, for this, that, yeah? This is me, clean, a fucking mess, yeah? It's a disgrace. Anyway, I was going to meetings. I didn't have a lot going on. I was probably going to a meeting a day, maybe a couple of meetings a day. There was nothing else to do, and I sort of like embraced it, did it, got a bit healthy, continued to do it, and then it was like, and now it's time for your step four. It's time to do your homework. Because all we've done is chatted, we've just talked. You know, we went to the went to a golf course to do my step three prayer, and the mad thing about the golf course, I think it was Merrick Park, and there'd been a murder the week before, and he's like, yeah, we're going to do this, yeah, there's been this murder. And I was like getting off on this as a story to people, just identifying myself with like, I was really a mess. And it's time to do your own work and look at your stuff and really try. So I'm phoning him up. I'm like, this is bullshit. He's going, yeah, it is. I know. I'm going, this is insane. What I'm writing down, he's going, I know. And I'm like, this is bullshit. He's like, I know. Do you know? And I expected him to go, no, do it a different way. Write something else down. And it was just, I started to look at my life and it was fucking nonsense. Do you know what I mean? The hurt that I felt was like, it was out of whack, it kind of wasn't correct, it was just totally out of whack. I was really like not balanced. And anyway, doing all this stuff, and then it's like moving towards that step five. And I believed, when I read the book, that if you don't shine a light on every fucking dark thing, then you might use again. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, fuck, really? I believed it, and I was like, but fucking hell, man. Come on. Is this what any length is? Is it? Is it? My sexual behaviour? Really? Me fucking arms to other people? The you know, stuff like this. And whatever you're, if you, you know, sit with yourself for a minute or two and just think about your worst. It was that. It really was that. You know. There you go. One of the same. And I remember, and he's there again, he's coming round my house, and this impressed me so much more than anything else did. This geezer was coming round my house. He was such an example. He worked, he's a good looking fella, he could have been off with birds, he could have been doing whatever he wanted to do, but he was coming round my house. And he was helping me in a profound way. Do you know what I mean? He was so, like, good-meaning, well-intentioned, a lovely man. And he didn't say, fucking do this or you're going to die. Do it my way, you're fucked. Get your head in the book or I'll fucking kick your head in. He was just so, like, not like that. And that worked for me so well. Because if anyone's telling me, like, you got to do like, you got to do it, it's like, I'm not doing it. Fuck you. Fuck off. It would never have worked. It would never have worked. And where was I? It was step five. And it did. It impressed me so much. It impressed me so much. Just how he was. And anyway, then we started, like, talking about this stuff. You know, he's, like, there nodding. And I can't remember much about it other than when it come to a couple of things. And it was only two. And for whatever reason, I'd attached an awful amount of shame and an awful amount of embarrassment because I'm a man and I'm supposed to behave in a certain way. Men do certain things. Men do not do certain things. Yeah? And he's, you know, I'm fucking not going to get into that. And safe to say, it was like, afterwards, he's like, alright, fair enough. So, and now you need to have a bit of quiet time and think about what you've done, you disgusting little bastard. And it was like, and he didn't say that, but he might as well have done, because that's fucking how I'm hearing it. And I go out into, you know, down to the beach, the great beach of Bournemouth, thinking, oh, disgusting man, just, oh, let me go and have a homosexual experience or something. Anything to, I didn't do that, right? But anything to make myself feel better, just like, oh, I'm just dying, just so in myself and painful and thoroughly exposed Do you know what I mean? I really did put a light on everything, 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 everything. And then maybe, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know what was up, what was happening. I was probably doing the same kind of thing, maybe a week, maybe a couple of weeks after that. Then I had this thing where it was as if, it was just as if a hand has come into my head, took the drink and the drug thing and just gone, poof, and launched it. And it has never come back for me. And I understand that as I did everything in that step five. Absolutely everything. And I've done step fives, I've done step fours before. Like I said, I was in and I was out, and I was in and I was out, and I always used again. So I didn't this time. So something was obviously different, and I was doing something different. And then we moved on through the steps anyway. And here I am, I suppose, 9 years or 8 years or 9 years later, not fucking up a tabletop shit. Do you know what I mean? So I suppose, like, we can get into the steps. I'm not going to get into the rest of them, but they're brilliant. I, in particular, at the moment, like, like the step 10 idea, which is, anyone help me? What was it? Continue to take personal inventory, promptly admit your wrongs to your wife, it should say. In my case. And it's like, this year, I've had to work that. Yeah? And it's like, it's not her fault, believe you me, it's really not. She's lovely. And but I find myself getting like annoyed, or I'm always doing the washing up, or why don't you get up like and do the kids today, and she does all these things, and sometimes I buy it and sometimes I don't, but I have to, like, you know, write that stuff, because if I don't, I'm the kind of person that will sit on it and think, right, I'll fucking wait, we'll see. And you're like that. And you're like, and you know what I mean? You can really get in that place. You know, and then it's 2 weeks later and you're like, fuck you. Do you know what I mean? She's walking around thinking, what's wrong with him, the poor lad? You know, you need a meeting or you need whatever you need. And it's just like, man, I really had to learn to do that. But the great thing about practicing it is you reap what you sow. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, through practicing that quite hard for a year, I don't mean how, like, it's been hard, but just practicing it regularly for like a year odd, it's pretty easy to do. And it's a pretty sweet thing when I do it. Because I just don't, we don't get into that kind of hate, we don't get into that hurt, we get into that, like, we're alright with each other. Do you know what I mean? That happiness, that kind of spontaneity, where you're not thinking it through. Do you know what I mean? You just don't hold on to stuff. And that, for me, is just a great thing, you know. And I do that a lot. I'm also into the meditation. I just like sitting down, breathing, just because I like it. You know, so I suppose everyone here is going to find whatever their thing is in particular that they like. But the thing that I've learned through going through the steps is I can only ever practice one thing at a time. Because when I started out, I thought, if I do the 12 steps, I'm going to be cured. So that was soon wrong, because I'm sick. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, it's bloody good is what it is. So just let me check my sheet. I haven't looked at it yet. Alright, so when I was new, I applied for some money. There was some money going around. I was like, yeah, I want to do this community spirited thing, apply for some money. Next thing I know, I got 1750 quid. Never been into music, never been into making music. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to buy a fucking studio. Phoned up some geezer that I got told had a studio, was selling it from up north. Me and my mate have gone up north. It's this big thing like that. And because it was big, I was like, yeah, I love it. 1300 quid, yes, sweet, like that. Fucking didn't know how to use it, knew fuck all about music, and before you know, I've got this big thing in my one bedroom flat in Boscombe, and I'm like, fucking hell. So I figured out how to use it, yeah, probably like minimally, and what's the first thing I'll do? Fucking make a share CD of me. And what's the next thing I'll do? Right, I fucking listen to it for probably about 6 months straight. Every night like that. My missus is there just thinking, oh my, I'm like that. Bing, on it goes. And then in the end, I'm starting to talk to her about this geezer's got it going on. This is the real shit. You know. And I had this thought, like, a lot of people do, there's a lot of people don't, but a lot of people do, and they hear, like, powerful Cher CDs, and you think, yeah, that's going to be me one day, that's going to be fucking me, and that might have got me through whatever stages it got me through, do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, my first couple of years, like I said, year two, when I did that Cher, if I'd had a gun, maybe I would have put it in my mouth, do you know what I mean? I was just so wrong. I felt so messed up, and it hadn't really. And I was doing what I had to do. I was doing it like I was turning up to the meetings, trying to do the step work, trying to carry the message, trying to hear the message, trying to get a job, trying to do all this stuff. And it was sort of working out, but it sort of wasn't working out, you know. And the thing that I learned from that is I just got to stay in the game, irrespective of what's going on. And that was just. You know, is it that in the book sometimes, or in the reading, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, you know. By the third year, it's like, I'm still a bit pissed off, but sort of all right, you know. I'm not good for sponsorship, though. And then fourth year, it's sort of like, maybe the same thing, maybe a bit of confidence is coming, but like genuine kind of confidence. Fifth year, I phoned up my mate, who had another lad who had a real profound effect on me. I was going, why am I so fucking angry? And I was asking him a sincere question. I was like, why am I so angry all the time? And he's going, at least you're not walking around that fucking CA being Mr. Spiritual. Boom. Put the phone down like that. Do you know what I mean? And I really responded to that because I was like, you fucking know what? I'm glad I'm not doing that. Because I was behaving like a real prick at times. Do you know what I mean? I got into that game off, and I don't know if anyone else has done it, and if you have, more power to you. There were some big people, as I saw them in the fellowship, yeah? And people looked up to them, and I was like, I want a bit of that. So I said, in the Saturday meeting that I had, that I was part of in the YMCA, Saturday afternoon meeting, I remember I was saying it crystal clear once, skis are looking at me with disgust. So if you're not here to work the fucking steps, you can fuck off. And it's really down to people working their programme that I didn't get a smack in the mouth. Do you know what I mean? It was disgusting. Yeah. It really was. I remember phoning this geezer once and phoning him up, and he's like, oh, how's it going? And I was like, I started to talk and he went, fuck off, and put the phone down. And I was like, what? And then he's phoned up a couple of minutes later, like, ha 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 ha. And I'm just like in pieces. Just in pieces, a mess. And I really learned from that. Do you know what I mean? Because this whole process, as far as I see it, like I was saying about like amending to the wife and taking inventory, it's like that humbling, humbling, humbling process. Getting into that bit of humility. Sort of like losing that drive for me, 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 me. You know, and I found that out through the steps that, for me, is the fucking root of my problems. I'm just profoundly selfish. Here's a story about selfishness. I was living at my wife's mum and dad's, so they let us move in there because we're saving to buy our first property, yeah? We've had our first baby there. And so they're away, probably in France or something. My missus is away doing whatever she's doing. Finn's upstairs asleep. Everything's wonderful. Everything's good. So I toss some toast. Lovely bit of toast. Go in the front room, eating the toast. It's all good. And then this crumb lodges itself in my throat kind of thing. And I'm like... I'm like, fuck, this is it. I'm like, this is it. This is when people die. I was like, I'm not joking. I was like, I'm like, fucking hell. Well, I wasn't. I was like, inside of myself, fucking hell, and doing this thing like, really trying to breathe, can't breathe. And then this calm sort of comes over me. And I'm like, this is it. This is fucking it. I'm going out like this. I'm slowly sort of going down on one knee, yeah? I'm in the moment. It's really alright. It's alright. I'm in like that. And then I fucking notice the mirror. And what I want to do is I'll take this one last look at myself before I can block it. Just to see my face one last time. Fucking hell. You know what I mean? I've hit the floor, I've hit the deck, and then boom, popped myself out of it. But fucking hell. Just epitomises selfishness. And that's been prevalent my entire life. Me. The good, the bad, and the ugly, it's always been about me. Do you know what I mean?
Have a look.
5 minutes. I'll tell you another story about selfishness. I shop in Lidl's. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love Lidl's. Yeah? I think there's great stuff in there. I mean, Lidl's or Aldi, it's one or two. And I think it was this Easter just gone, I think. So earlier on in the year. And I have this thought, I'm like, so this is the unselfish thought, right? I know, I'll buy Nicole a present. And I'm not like that. And I was like, in Lidl's, I'm like, fucking hell. That's right, and I'm looking around. And then we get into the sweet aisle, or I get into the sweet aisle, and I'm like, oh, I see this thing, and it's like in a film, like, ah. And it's this like gold wrapper. It's almost like the lighting is behind it. It's almost just one of them moments. I was like, it's a sign. I'm getting this thing. I look at it, I'm like, jeez, this is, God, a marzipan egg. Kind of thing. I'm like, right, that's it, getting this present. I go home, I'm like, I've bought her a present. Like this. It's like, oh right, what is it? I go to the back, I get it out, and I'm like, like this. She goes, it's marzipan. And I'm like, yeah, I've known her for 10 years. She goes, I don't like marzipan. And then I'm like, oh, I like marzipan. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. So it's like, even in my good intention, I'm fucking looking out for me. Do you know what I mean? And it's all right, though. It's all right. So, I suppose in closing, I'll tell you one of my favourite stories, one of my favourite experiences, bar none. It's one of them. One of my most favourite experiences in recovery was when my missus says, I do, kind of thing. And it was still up to that. It was still like, oh, I'm that kind of person that's a bit afraid of that, like, something's going to go wrong. Do you know what I mean? She said, so that was one of them. And then the other one is, if I'm not spiritually fit, it's like bad dad. Yeah? So everyone has their own kind of feeling about it, yeah? And I'm not tip-top. And my son, he's 3.5-ish now. And maybe half a year ago, something like that, he's rubbed me up the wrong way. It's not his fault. He's 3. I've clipped him around the ear. And I thought, fucking hell, Ryan. That's shit. Do you know what I mean? And you can think it's harmless. You think you're not doing this. And for me, it was like, it was shit. He's done nothing wrong. He's fucking 3. So what do I do? Step 10, so I've been doing it with Mrs. So I get down to his level, and I swear to God, right, he cops on to what's going on. It's like something special is going on. That's how I felt, and I'm sure he felt that. I get down on my knee, and I go, Finn, I'm like, that was out of order. I'm really sorry. And he's like, he's hearing it. And, what did I say? Fucking don't forget the story. I said, really sorry. I said something like, what would you like me to do? To sort of like make it up to you? What do you want me to do? And he's dead eyed me, he's looked at me like that. He's got his hands, he's got my head, he's pulled me in, kissed me on the forehead, and let me go. Fucking phenomenal, was. And that's me. Alright, thank you very much.
Charlie. Thank you, Ryan. We'll break now for food. We'll have a half hour break for food now. Can we be back here for 8:30 for the next share, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Change the same.